Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
Welcome to another edition of Don't Blow It, Just Jiggle It, DK Podcast Gaming. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad.
You found the gaming segment. Great job. However, because this podcast is pre-recorded, any observations related to you are pure speculation on our part, so please disregard any undeserved compliments. Welcome to gaming.
Yeah, all right.
How we doing, boyos?
It's been a good Wednesday.
So far, so good.
I mean, where I'm at, it's a Saturday, but Wednesdays are good, too.
Again, since this is pre-recorded, please disregard any.
Man. Time zones are weird.
Time zones are very weird. You know, Shirtosaurus prides themselves on being weird. They send out wristbands that say, "Let's get weird." With shirt orders and stuff like that. And they're a longtime sponsor of the podcast, digging up clothing from the past so you can look rad today, with free shipping on all orders within the U.S. They've got great t-shirts, sweater, hoodie designs. You see a design you like, they can put that shiznit on just about anything. Everything geek chic. Whether you're a fan of old school gaming, anime, 80s cartoons, something in between, find something for you at shirtosaurus.com. And Gamefly, with membership options for every budget, plus gifts for gamers of all ages. Gamefly has thousands of titles you can keep as long as you want. They've helped me with several Pile of Shame reviews. And when you're done, just send it back to the postage paid envelope for a new one, or keep it forever and pay a lot less than in-store prices. And they just updated their rewards program. You can stack up to $20 in coupons toward any purchase. Usually you make a purchase, you get some reward dollars back, hang on to that. You can stack up to $20 and then blow the wad. Sign up for a free 30-day trial right now at the link at geekcavepodcast.com. Okay, well, you know, Chad?
Yeah.
Sony's raising their prices. Nintendo and Microsoft are laughing at them. What you got?
I played a game.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Demo Derby!
That is surprisingly low-key here.
I wonder sometimes what my life would be like if I'd made different decisions. Would I still have my current vocation? Would I drive a motorcycle? Would my taste in entertainments have changed so significantly as to like the demo this month? If the answer is yes, then I'm actually living in the best timeline. Because I don't want to be the type of person that likes SD Gundam Battle Alliance.
Oh, no.
Oops.
The background visuals were lackluster at best. The combat was somehow both easy to grasp and a pain in the neck to execute. There was so much talking going on from the side characters that you could either survive the encounter or know what the flump was going on in the story, but not both. I played as some faceless dude in a Gundam suit that apparently needed to fight other faceless dudes in Gundam suits. Why? I don't know. I was trying to survive. Looking things up, it appears that this game takes place in a virtual reality simulation in which all the Gundam histories are kept. And you need to keep them secure by destroying evil Gundams that want nothing more than to corrupt your data. The camera moves well. The buttons do things when they're pressed. The game chooses to pause everything to tell you what to do next as its tutorial, yet also completely fails to explain anything else that's on the screen. If this is the future of demos, then it's no wonder that so many developers and publishers are getting rid of them. This game, as a game, is near universally praised, by game review people, and I can only imagine that this is the result of either bribery or truly awful other games in this series. I was relieved to turn it off. Like, I finally succeeded in helping Sisyphus get the boulder to the top of the hill. I was as satisfied as the click of the final piece in a Lego project. Mm. I sighed my glee as deeply as one who has just finished their last project before graduation, and I chuckled with the joie de vivre of someone who has just survived a car accident. To say that I disliked my time with this game would be an understatement. I would rather snort cat dander, share an office with a person that microwaves fish for lunch, and sit in front of a person in an airplane that thinks it's okay to take off their shoes and their socks than to have to play this again. I have found a particular game genre that I simply don't like. And if these are the demos coming out, then I'm going to need a new segment. If this is your type of game, God bless you. For every other person in the world, not even the demo.
Wow.
Yikes.
That is the harshest condemnation I think we've had on the Deep Cave ever since the Fuller House review.
It was fine.
Fine.
Oh. Well, thank you for your sacrifice.
You're welcome, Darren.
Okay. Justin.
Hi.
Yeah, hi. So, I've been spending some time on Reddit, and I've noticed a lot of activity in one particular area. Maybe you could help me out with that.
Oh, absolutely. As many of you know, I don't get to play games very much, but I do have a wide breadth of knowledge that I think is useful to the video game community. And I've been going through Reddit's Ask Games to see if I can answer some of these questions in a little segment I like to call...
Ask Justin. The Geek Cave podcast and its associates, including Justin, do not condone the advice given in this segment.
Thank you, Nigel. So this month's question is simply, please help me find childhood game, please, please. It's like, okay, grammatical errors aside.
That can go in so many directions.
I got you.
Okay.
If your parents still live in the house you grew up in, just go look for it. If they don't, then you have to get creative. There's a 99% chance that they're not there anymore, but we can't let that 1% go unchecked. We'll need to stake out the house to get a feel for when the new owners are home and not. After about a week, you should know the best time to break in. Now, once you're in, we have to move fast. Start upstairs and work your way down. Leave no room untouched. Check every drawer, closet, turnover beds, empty every cabinet. Remember, don't take anything except the game. That way, if you're caught, the cops can only charge you with a B&E and not felony theft.
I know it's in the disclaimer.
I know it's in the disclaimer. Yeah.
But I just want to reiterate, the Deep Cave podcast does not, including Justin, does not approve or endorse
or condone
of the advice given within this segment.
We ought to pay Nigel more.
thank you, other Nigel. What?
Yeah. No. It's I just felt just being thorough. Thoroughness is good. Has anyone played anything?
Actually, I have.
Okay.
I played a game called Freedom Finger.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, no. Is this another Flappy Bird?
No. No, 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 no.
Okay, okay.
This is a 2019 release. I got it through Gamefly.
Okay.
I had it in the machine for about 20 minutes, but I only played about 10 seconds of it.
Oh, this is a good start.
So first off, I want to describe the box art. The box art has a stock photo of a kid with spiky hair and sunglasses pointing a finger gun. And the word Freedom Finger is printed across the top. But it's got that Microsoft Word red jagged line for misspelling because they spelled it as one word. Freedom Finger, a game. Rated M for mature.
Rated M.
Yeah. So I'm going to read you the synopsis.
God.
Yeah, I'm looking right at it.
Yep. You play as the pilot of a badass fist-shaped aircraft made in America, of course. You follow the orders of General Cigar. You're not sure if he's drunk off power or ice-cold American beer, but either way, it's your duty to complete the mission at hand. Fly through space while you listen to a banger soundtrack to deliver some freedom to those spineless left-handed commies.
Okay.
So the ship...
The box art is left-handed.
Yes. So the ship... Yes. The ship is fist-shaped. So imagine a fist...
Yeah.
Flying left to right on a screen.
Yeah.
When you want to shoot, the middle finger extends and lasers come out.
As everyone listening expected.
Yes. You can also grab an enemy and throw them or punch. Now, I say I had it in the machine for about 20 minutes and only played about 10 seconds because the first 19 minutes and 40 seconds were... tutorial. You didn't get to do anything. It was all just push the button so General Cigar could keep talking. And here's what this button does, and here's what this button does, and here's what this button does. I didn't actually get to play the game until the very, very end of all this 20-minute stuff. And it was a side-scrolling Galaga ripoff with slightly better graphics and a middle finger that shot lasers.
So it's a shmup.
Yeah.
It's a shmup.
It's a shmup, okay. And I was a schmuck for getting this game from Gamefly. No admonishment to Gamefly, Video Games Delivered. I'm glad I didn't have to pay full price to discover I hated this game. I sent it back the same day.
Yeah.
In the postage paid envelope, mind you.
There you go.
That's incredible.
It really is. You can
what a deal.
Get it out of your house as fast as you possibly can.
Yep.
See,
and as my spouse... As my spouse was putting it back in the postage paid envelope, I was deleting it from my console.
There you go.
Teamwork
makes the dream. See, here's the thing about the tutorial problem that is prevalent in games right now is that, excuse me while I get on my soapbox and take some Advil. Back in our day...
Back when the earth was flat and dirt was the new thing.
We had what are called instruction manuals, mm-hmm. where if you wanted to play, you just play. And if you want to know what the hell you're doing, you read the instruction manual.
That's why none of us knew that holding B would let you continue
in
Mario
Super
Brothers.
Mario Brothers for like 30 years. I never knew. Well, Justin, I'm sorry that Freedom Finger was... Not the glorious thing that it sounded like it would be.
To be fair, I just kind of went through Gamefly's PS4 and PS5 games and put a bunch in my queue based on the box art alone, so I don't know what I was expecting.
He was hoping for a banger.
But I think I got it.
Okay, the fact that you're renting games based on box art means that I feel like we should give him a segment... with some kind of play off of the whole judge a book by its cover thing.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
We'll revisit that idea at the next Geek Cave Summit.
Happening this October.
This October, because that's... Well,
that's
get to
when
that
we've
in a
been
second.
Having our things.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. Because I've got a review as well. And, Chad, I know that demo pretty much just sucked the life out of you. Did you play anything else?
I've been playing some Kena in order to...
Kena Bridge of Spirits is great.
I am... not liking some of the exploration stuff, but I'm loving everything else.
Okay.
And it's only because some of that stuff is... I'm still learning what are the puzzles.
Right. And it's...
Every game has puzzle language.
And it's not a perfect game by any sense of the word, but God dang if it ain't pretty.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And it
Absolutely.
Plays very smoothly.
Plays
and
very well.
I mean, it's probably the most fun I've had... since you introduced me to that Immortals game.
A lesser known...
What game is that?
Oh, it's a small game called Immortals Phoenix Rising.
No, doesn't ring a bell.
Check that on your Gamefly account. It should be available for PS4, PS5, and Switch.
And yeah.
And I mean Xbox as
well.
It's
on everything at this point.
I think you can even play it on your Alexa.
Probably. Who knows?
All right.
It's the working man's Skyrim.
All right. Alexa, play Skyrim.
Please don't. I've put too many hours into that game. Speaking of putting too many hours into a game, let's talk about Fire Emblem Three Hopes, shall we?
Three Hopes?
Three Hopes, yeah. Okay. In the last segment, the comic segment, I had a bit of a sojourn where I started talking about different versions of Superman and New 52 and
right.
all that.
That was the classic Coke.
Classic thing. Coke, New Coke. So mm-hmm. Fire Emblem is traditionally a strategy RPG, and I played Fire Emblem Three Houses on the Switch. It was great. I highly recommend it. But they've also got an offshoot with Dynasty Warrior-type gameplay, Fire Emblem Warriors. This is the second of those, and it is a direct alternate universe to Three Houses.
Okay.
Where it's called Three Hopes, and it's an alternate universe. You've got the same three main characters, but you're playing as a new main character. And that decision right there turns out to be a problem in the end, but I'm going to get there when I get there. Because let's talk about the fact that I am shamelessly into these types of games.
Okay.
Dynasty Warriors games are like my Coke classic from Mexico.
I'm glad I didn't play the Dynasty Warriors version of the SD Gundam battle.
Tell you what, though. Gundam Warriors 3 is a good time on the PS3. But, well, for me, it is. I know you're not super into those.
Yeah.
But
play what you like, man.
Yeah, but like I referred to Fire Emblem Three Houses in my review several months back as all my anime children mm-hmm. because of how much soap opera-ness there was. Well, that continues in this. It's a warrior's game, but there's times where you're at camp and you get to foster relationships, and there's a whole lot of that Fire Emblem DNA in here, as well as the fact that this game feels like it took 20 hours too many, because it took me about 37 hours to play through the first playthrough, because just like in Three Houses, there are three paths you can take, and if you want the full story, you gotta do all of them. So I liked what I played. It was a lot of fun, mindless fun, because Dynasty Warriors are mindless fun, but at the ending was a bit of a letdown, and I'm not going to spoil anything other than that. Apparently, by introducing the player character for this game, the executives told the developers, look, you can't do anything that lessens the impact of this character from the main release. Okay, but we're playing an entirely different universe. You can't do anything that lessens that person's impact. And so as a result, your ending, no matter what path you choose, amounts to about 5 or 6 sentences.
They Mass Effect 3'd it?
It's worse than Mass Effect 3. They Turtles in Timed it.
Ooh!
You know? Where, like, Turtles in Time's a fantastic game, but at the end you just get, like, one animated scene, like 10 seconds of animation, and then it's over. Kind of like that. Where okay. You're like, wait a minute, but is the war over? Did I do the good thing or the bad thing? How will history remember me? The world may never know unless you play the other two paths. So, if you like Fire Emblem like I do, it's probably still a buy it and play it, because it was 35 hours. It felt like it took forever, but I still enjoyed it. And at the end of the day, am I still having fun? Yes. Am I annoyed at some of the choices? Yes. Are there characters that I purposely let die on the battlefield? Because in all Fire Emblem games, if you let certain characters die in the field, they don't come back? Yes. Yeah, that's one thing I do like about the Fire Emblem series, is that their permadeath is a thing. If you have a character that falls in battle, they're gone. They're written out of the story. So, it puts some real stakes on there. Or, in Hubert's case, fuck you, dude.
Wow.
Always right. Being suspicious of my beautiful sword wielding ass.
Okay.
Speaking of things that are beautiful but not necessarily sword wielding, listen to this.
You have power. The power to save lives. The power to defeat illnesses. The power to use games for good. You can be a hero for local sick and injured kids through Extra Life, a 24-hour gaming marathon that supports a local Children's Miracle Network hospital in your community. Join 50,000 gamers from all across the world as we battle the enemy illnesses and injuries facing local kids.
Play games! Heal kids!
Find out more at extra-life.org.
Donate and learn more at geekcavepodcast.com.
All right, that out of the way. Kent.
It was created by a madman. Ignored and rejected. Every week it grows. We cannot kill it, for it does not live. Step fast and be wary, or you may fall victim to Darren's Pile of Shame.
This next review could be very strenuous. To help you relax, we will be deploying smooth jazz in 3, 2... What's that? Okay, I'm told by the boys in the lab that there will not be any smooth jazz. But if you are interested in offbeat humor combined with some pretty good storytelling and great puzzle gameplay, well then, let's talk about Portal 2.
Yes!
Released back in April 2011, it took the basic concepts of Valve's first Portal game, namely, there's a gun that shoots orange and blue portals, and a smart-assed and totally evil AI that taunts you throughout the game. Took those elements and improved on everything, with the addition of things like trapping that evil AI inside a potato battery, which leads to one of the best lines in the whole game, which is, "Oh, how are you? Because I'm a potato." Using various types of gels to go super fast and bounce really high, and of course, one of the more creative ways to get rid of a final boss I've seen in my 34 years as a gamer.
Mm-hmm.
Portal 2 takes place anywhere from 2 months to 273 years after the events of Portal 1. Why such a wide range, you may ask? Well, you start off by waking up in a stasis chamber made to look like a hotel room, and the tutorial happens in two phases. The first of which, the room looks really nice, and a recording says you haven't been in stasis very long. In the second, the room is clearly in disrepair. You're the only human test subject still alive. The recording kind of fizzles out when estimating how long you've been under, saying you've been in stasis for 9999999. And when you're given a prompt to say hello to another AI, you jump instead.
All right, that's jumping.
Yep.
That's jumping. You've got that.
Signifying that you have suffered some extensive brain damage. But don't let that stop you. You have science to do, my friend. A particularly stupid AI, one that has been designed by the greatest minds of a generation aiming to create the dumbest thing in existence, and yes, that is canon, helps you break out. You find a portal gun. You run into the evil AI from the first game named GLaDOS. You team up with her after the stupid AI gets drunk with power, and there's a lot of physics-based platforming along the way. Portal 2 not only forces you to think about things like momentum and distance when you solve some of its levels, but it adds new elements with those three gels I mentioned earlier. One lets you bounce really high, especially if you take advantage of using portals to get further and further distance. One that lets you go really fast. Now combine that with the bouncy gel, and you can careen across the map like Golden Age Superman before someone working on a radio show got lazy and said he could fly. And then there's a white gel made of surprisingly toxic moon dust that lets you essentially make any surface, one that a portal will stick to. That little idea comes into play in a big way during the final boss fight in a moment that I'm not going to spoil, because even though this game is 11 years old, I don't want you to miss out on it if you haven't seen it happen yet. You just need to play it, and you need to trust me. The soundtrack, by the way, is great.
Like, oh, yeah.
Just like in Portal 1, the end credits feature a song sang by GLaDOS. I don't think That's What I'm Counting On is as good as Still Alive, which was the end credit song from Portal 1. But it does work as a fitting, thanks for your help, get the fuck out kind of song. The best part of the soundtrack is the sheer number of recordings you'll discover throughout your playthrough. You'll get a deep dive into the history of Aperture Science and its crazy-slash-eccentric owner, Cave Johnson, played by J.K. Simmons, in, honestly, some of his best work. And That's not saying he's bad at anything else. It's just really good here. In fact, before the taping, I sent Justin the combustible lemon speech.
Yeah.
I've heard that before, and I approved.
Yes. Also, props to the people at Valve for also giving us an unexpectedly compassionate spin on GLaDOS and her backstory, only to have that compassion go away in the blink of an eye later. Now, Portal 2 is an excellent game for someone new to video games to try, someone who wants to learn how to play first-person shooters, someone who loves puzzles, and frankly, if you just like offbeat humor, you should try it. For everyone else, it's one of those rare games that to me is nothing short of supremely entertaining each and every time I've picked it up, whether for the first time or the 100th. I have replayed this game multiple times. I've never been unsatisfied or bored. It's just that good. And the fact that Valve apparently won't make a Portal 3 is a damn crime. Although, now that we've talked about it and knowing what kind of impact we seem to constantly inadvertently have on things, I wouldn't be surprised if Valve finally does learn to count to three and give us a new entry. But until then, you'll have to settle for Aperture Desk Job, which is free on PC and does take place in the same universe. Portal 2 has been used in classrooms to teach kids about things like physics and problem-solving skills. It's been used in research on fluid intelligence and cognitive abilities. It has received numerous Game of the Year awards and has made a remarkable impact on gaming similar to those of Mario, Kratos, and Master Chief. It is damn near perfect, and you should definitely, without question, be like me. I love this game.
Really?
It's great. Be sure to find our YouTube channel. You can find a link to it at geekcavepodcast.com, where you can also find all of our social media links, including the Discord. You can also find out more about the Extra Life campaign that you just heard about earlier before this review. You can find us on Twitch sporadically, as we are still working out some of the kinks, but we had a good run for Batman Arkham Knight, so it sounds like we're getting closer to being able to reliably stream on a regular basis. But in the meantime, we do have weekly Deep Cave Plays as well as Retromantics. We're on all of your favorite podcast services, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Good Pods, you name it. If it's a big one, we're probably on it. So be sure to check out You Want Me to Watch What, which is something that Justin and Chad do the second and fourth weeks of the month, where they review movies. They challenge each other to watch a movie they haven't seen, and then they talk about it. The Week 3 podcast, where Justin and I literally just pull stuff out of thin air to talk about. And by the way, it's the next Week 3 is my turn, and I have a good'un. The last one we did was Rush, which was Justin's, and it was also a good'un, if you will.
That's a colloquial term, good'un.
Yes. But other than that, like I said, find us on social media. For Kent, for Justin, for Chad, I'm Darren. For the love of God, don't let any of the propulsion gel get on you, because it does not like skeletons. And remember, everyone's a geek for something.